Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Happy Monday to everybody. Hour two of the Monday edition of the show means Ding Dong of the Week. That's coming up in the second segment. So hit us up on Twitter at Blaine and Mickey. By the way, the show is going on the road tomorrow. If you're in the borough, we are going to be at Puckett's. So you need to come by Puckett's, 114 North Church Street in Murfreesboro, and hang out with us tomorrow. We would love to see you. By the way, Puckett's, fantastic food. I will plan on eating my weight and whatever they put in front of me tomorrow at Puckett's. Always enjoy it. You will too. Any Puckett's near you, just go there and you will love it. You're going to love the second hour of the program. Again, we'll get to Ding Dong of the Week. We'll hear from Titans coaches. They got a wrestler trying to make the team. You know, Tebow's trying to make the Jags. Titans got a wrestler who's trying to make this team. So we'll hear about him and more. But we started the show today talking about this today, Blaine. State of Tennessee has kind of become the epicenter of college baseball. Tennessee and Vandy both move on from Super Regionals to Omaha. Tennessee swept LSU. They won 15-6 yesterday. It's the fifth time in program history, but it's their first since 2005. They also won 50 games this year, Tennessee, which is just something they did for the third time in program history. 50 wins.
Really?
Which is, yeah, 50. Yes, that's unbelievable. Vanderbilt swept East Carolina behind Rocker and Leiter. Vandy headed to its fifth College World Series in 11 years. Vanderbilt said this earlier. They're technically the defending champs because they won it in 2019 and COVID canceled the event last year. But we had Chris Leon from VandySports.com earlier, and as he pointed out, not a whole lot of contributors from that team remain. This roster's really turned over in the last couple of years. But you still have Kumar Rocker, who was big that year. And oh, by the way, he's added himself a nice 1-2 punch in Leiter, who was lights out this weekend. Kind of a tale of Vandy won a couple of low scoring games, and boy, Tennessee just broke out yesterday. And it was funny the way the scoring went. Lucas brought this up. Vandy had already clinched their trip before Tennessee had thrown a pitch to try to clinch the trip. Kind of an odd scheduling quirk, but for fans of maybe just college baseball in general, maybe not specific fans of either program, or I don't know, I don't think they're fans of both, but you got to watch every one of those games because they all happened at different times.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And man, UT, I think that's the kind of the big story just because of where they've come from over the last 3 or 4 years, and Tony and coaching staff and the clutch hitting, the precise pitching. I mean, this them on this run. And then guess what? With all this, guess how much brand notoriety they're going to get there at the World Series, you know, with UT being there, two schools from the state of Tennessee, one private and one public. So it's pretty cool. And they hadn't done it since 2005, man. I think that's 16 years. Big win over a legendary, great program in LSU. So yeah, it was pretty awesome, man. Nice power surge of energy of batting there with the solid pitching, man. So this, you know, UT fans should be just ecstatic, ecstatic with just all of this and, just them having a shot at the College World Series. I mean, because, man, it's excitement all over the place and they're just looking for winners and, man, they are erupting. And I bet they're going to be more UT fans at this College World Series than any other fan base that's going to show up. So I'm betting money on that, man. I don't do a lot of gambling, but if I was betting money, I'd bet that one there for Vegas. But that's probably not even on the line there to bet.
No, I bet you can put that. I bet they'd take your money. I bet you call somebody up. They tell you, oh, yeah, we'll bet. We'll take your money. What's interesting is, you know, Arkansas being a border state to Oklahoma, if they had won, that's not a bad drive for Arkansas fans if they had been able to win their way through, but they didn't. And I grew up in Arkansas. I know those crazy Razorback fans. They go everywhere. They support the Razorbacks. Mm-hmm. So they would have invaded Omaha because they're just like, hey, man, we'll just drive over there. But no dice.
Yeah, got beat. I want to see Texas versus Tennessee. So I want to see how these broadcasters go with the UT. And then start
all orange, yeah.
And then who was first and all of that. I wanted to go down and break it down and, you know, the different colors. how they're not the same and just everything, man. That would be must watch TV. Then eventually be UT versus Vandy, if that can happen. That would be sweet. Then that'll lead us to the conversation of, do we have a pro baseball team here? Man, I got it all lined up. I'm ready. I'll make this prediction already. I'm ready to make it happen. I don't know who's going to win, though.
Nobody wants to lose a baseball game on their campus if they can help it, especially a big rivalry game, because you want to play in your park with your fans and everybody sitting where they sit, and your outfielders know the quirks of the outfield and where every bump, you know this, you play baseball, you play on a field all the time, and you kind of learn where the bumps and the lumps and the holes and everything else are. You learn all that stuff. I just wonder, though, if you said, all right, Tennessee and Vandy next year, they're going to play, they're scheduled to play one, let's say they come to Vandy, and they're going to play, the Sounds are going to be gone to wherever, Memphis. So Vandy and Tennessee are going to play a three-game series at, what is it, First Horizon Park, where the Sounds play. Mm-hmm. I wonder how many people they could draw. Because you could put a lot of people in that state. You can put people out in the grass. You can put people in the band box, not to mention the bleachers. I mean, I'd have to look and see what the capacity is, but it's several thousand. I would really be interested to see how many tickets you could sell for a three game. And you know the Sounds that do it. They'll do anything. They'll sign up for anything down there. With Corbs go, okay, yeah, we'll play you guys over there.
Yeah, they'll do anything. They may about to sign you to a contract to represent them to get this done.
Well, I mean, I'll take a cut of that idea if they do it. I'll take a cut.
Yeah. Yeah. They may need to hire you over there, because that would be a must watch and be there in person, because I definitely would go to that. So it's just, exciting time for baseball in the state of Tennessee, with both teams making it to College World Series, man. So, you got bragging rights across the country, really, in college sports and baseball, that hey, you have two of the best programs in the country. And that's pretty cool. So, it's definitely more so for the Vols, because you know they haven't had a lot to cheer for. When normally Vanderbilt's baseball is always dominant, just won it. Now they can have a chance to win it back to back with no 2020 season. So they're used to to winning in baseball and being at the top of the forefront of conversations when it comes to baseball. They're probably sad right now because it's a private school, so there's not as many students. So they go, man, dang, now the Vols have made it. All their, crazy fans are coming after us. And why can't he just leave our sport alone? Why can't he just leave baseball? Just be good at your other sports, but not baseball. I'm sure that's how the Vandy fans feel. But, hey, man, guess what? They still have the Whistler. The Balls don't have that. So I don't know if they want that, but they need to get something. They need to get a dog that can whistle or something. Smokey can do something that makes noise or something. I don't know, man. He just barked, right? I don't know.
That's another thing about Vandy, though. You talk about home field advantage. Everybody hates that sound of that whistle, except for their fans. You know, they're used to it now. They're players, Corbin. But you walk into that place and you're not used to it. I mean, I took my son to a game down there a couple of years ago, and at some point he turned to me and goes, "Daddy, is that guy going to do that all night?" I said, "Yeah, he's going to. He's been doing it for years." And he's like, "Let's go walk around." So we had to get up and go walk around. It was too loud for him.
Were y'all even sitting next to him?
We weren't next to him. We were across the field from him, and it was too loud.
Oh, man. Yeah. That probably wouldn't bother me, because I know, but kids, of course, because you got to expect that when you're going. So it's no different than if you're at a Titans game and the fans is sitting next to you with your kid and he's MFing the whole time. That's way worse, in my opinion, because the whistle is going on the whole game, but I could pretty much tune it out. I really can. I mean, granted, I don't know if I was sitting right next to him, but if I was on the other side, I'd be able to survive.
Yeah, that fan who MFs around your kid the whole game, that's always a tough one, because you're like, do we stay? Sometimes you say something. And to some people's credit, they're like, all right, man, I'll tone it down. Some people are like, screw you. I spent my how much dollars? I'm going to say whatever I want. You don't like it, you guys can go,
Well, especially if they had a few
pops.
Pops. Whatever they like. So, you just got to know that's what you're going to get with the fan base, especially if you, you're going to a Vandy game. So I'm sure with all those fans sitting out there, I mean, I think the LSU, you know, coaching staff were talking about it the last time they played UT. So how rowdy and ruckus the fan base was, and it was, you know, impacting the game. So if you're going to be loud at a baseball game, and it will impact in these college stadiums.
Well, it's funny because you were saying, you know, Vandy's got the whistler, and that's sort of their signature, that sound, you know, when you get to the ballpark.
Cowbells.
Cowbells at Mississippi State. You know what's funny, though, because you mentioned this as well, just how the Tennessee players, they're rowdy with the bat flips, and they get fired up, and they, you know, they're playing to the crowd. And Vitello, you know, ran down and jumped into the fence when they won the regional game.
Yeah.
To me, maybe that's their thing. It's just that fire and that intensity. You know, Vandy's kind of more businesslike. You know, okay, all right. This is what, 5th and 11 years.
Typically, all right. How baseball players are until the end.
Yes, yes.
You don't want any lot of ebbs and flow. It's not kind of an emotional game, but they definitely play the emotion game. They flip the bat and talk and smack, and they got all these little chants and everything else. So, man, it's just exciting, man, just to see, you know, now that, you know, both programs are doing really well.
I hope they play each other for all the marbles. I want that so bad. I want that to happen because Lucas, we clarified with our college baseball expert, Lucas Panzeca. We said, different sides of the bracket, right? He said, yeah. What's the latest, by the way, Lucas? Do you have the score on Dallas Baptist and Virginia? Have you got that one?
Yeah.
It was Dallas Baptist up 2-1
earlier. Yeah, 2-1, bottom six.
Dallas Baptist, ladies and gentlemen, trying to get to the College World Series. All right, who's your ding-dong of the week? Mine has to do with baseball, my ding-dong team, and it has to do with my Friday shot call because I called a shot. It's just the exact opposite happened of the shot that I called because of the ding-dong team that I root for. Load up the phone, 615-737-1045. There's a lot to choose from. Also, we're about to give away some Braves tickets in about 15 minutes. You will want to win that, or you can tweet us at Blaine and Mickey. You can join the discussion there anytime. We'll be right back. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Time now for our ding-dong of the week. Don't be a ding-dong. Well, we'll have a sponsor who sponsors this next week, and we'll tell you what ding-dongs don't do because they will use that sponsor. You'll find out in a week who that is going to be. Meech says on Twitter, Meech, the ding-dong of the week is that ref that ejected the Joker, he said, in the Denver Suns game. How about the two ding-dongs who fought in the bleachers?
Oh, that was horrible. What the heck? Good Lord. Hey, man, that looked like that was some Mike Tyson, man. MMA is next out there in the stands. Woo! You ready for my ding-dong?
I'm ready. What would get two people so mad at a ball game that they would be like, let's punch each other's lights out? It's a ball game. I get it. People are passionate, fan is short for fanatic. And I think you hit the nail on the head. It's how many, you know, cups of liquid courage they've had. Because surely you don't just go to the game and think, I'm going to fight somebody at a sporting event.
No. What happens is somebody says something that you didn't like and you tipsy, they tipsy, and they be like, look at each other like, we gonna do this? Yeah, we doing this. And they throw down the gloves and they just throw fists. Hey man, it's pure entertainment, man. I hate to see it, but man, every time I see something like that on Twitter, man, I rewind it and start watching it over and over again for entertainment. That's horrible, man. I'm just like, man. Because what if you weren't indulging in any drinks and then somebody just starts talking crazy and then they just start swinging at you and you're fine and you just start swinging back? What if that happened? Like somebody was up there whistling next to you, say, hey, man, can you keep that down a little bit? You're whistling in my son's ear, man. His eardrum is blowing up right now. And they go, what? And then you need to move. I'm not moving. This is my seat. And then, bam, they hit Mickey, and then H-Town Mickey comes out. H-Town Mickey comes out. And the next thing you know, y'all brawling. That could easily happen.
But, you know, your kids got to see it, you know, in that case.
Hey, what are you going to do if he pushes you and your kid's sitting there? You going to walk away?
Oh, no, you guys start throwing some, you guys start throwing some punches, 100%. The kids got to see you throw some punches back. H-Town would have to show up there. Oh, man. And you see sometimes in those fight videos, it's like one guy's doing all the talking, and then the other guy just doesn't say a word and knocks it out.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that was a video that made the rounds of a few weeks ago. And it was one guy doing all the talking, and the other guy just walked up and punched his lights out.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I got a couple of ding-dongs. I couldn't pass them up, and both of them are current NFL players. Oh, that didn't surprise anybody. Right? So my first one, it touched my heart because I was like, what the heck? And now he's since apologized, but it's too late. Sorry, Charlie. Le'Veon Bell saying he will never play for Andy Reid again. And I'm like, uh-oh, you done barked up the wrong tree this time. And this is two times now, Le'Veon. Nobody going to want to sign you. Andy Reid's definitely not. But, hey, you can be mad all you want to that he didn't play you. Andy Reid's not the type to make you promises. He is not that kind of dude. And he's a great dude. So he signed you probably for insurance policies. You're upset and, you know, pissed off that you didn't play more? Probably so. Or you didn't play in the Super Bowl? Yeah, you think he was pissed off that they didn't win? Y'all didn't win? So come on, man. You can't say that. Then try to retract it the next day. Everybody knows Andy Reid's a great dude and a great head coach. You know, hey, it happens. You got signed in the middle of the season. Come on, man. And now who wants to sign you? I don't think you thought about that. Who going to want to sign you now unless they're in desperate situations with a running back? And then, by the way, you're up there getting an age, so your tread is getting real low, bro.
I would have said about him, 4 years ago, best running back in football before all this stuff started. Yeah. Blaine, I have never – this is the thing about him.
Him and A.B.
The thing that yeah, absolutely. The thing that amazed me about Le'Veon Bell was his patience and how he would just wait for the play to develop, and then he would explode, or he would start one way and then just stop completely and then let something happen and then go again. I've never seen somebody, because that's a bigger guy. He's not small.
Yeah.
Catch passes. Oh, my gosh. Oh, wow. When he was on top of things. But he's the most patient running back that I remember, certainly in this modern era of running backs that we're dealing with now.
Yeah, man. Him and AB, they went from Hall of Famers to shut your mouth, boy. Yeah, both of them. Just be quiet. Y'all should have kept playing. Oh, well, too bad. But I have another one. Another NFL ding-dong. Montez Sweat said, I'm not getting the COVID shot because I haven't gotten COVID yet. Oh, no. Could somebody give him the H-Town Mickey shot to the bow real quick? Just a quick jab. Bam. I mean, what the heck? Really? You formed your mouth to say that? Did you not know how ding-dong that sounded? Oh, man. Boy, hey, nobody said all players are the sharpest tooth in the nail, but that one there, that took a Ric Flair. Woo! Man, I can't believe that. I couldn't. Oh, my. Hey, man, nobody's claiming for you to be smart. But that there, hey, man, you might as well say it. I'm not informed enough on what's going on, so I'm not the one to be talking about this because I have no idea. I don't know what's in the drug or something. I don't trust nothing. So I'm not, I don't know what's going on. Just say something craziness like that. I would have been like, oh, you don't know, and maybe you'll never know, but that's okay. Dude, oh my gosh, that was there. I mean, you know, Ron Rivera trying to bring in people to educate people. Well, some people can't be educated if they have problem listening. Man, if somebody can top that ding dong, y'all can call us 737-1045 the zone, because I don't think anybody's gonna be able to top that ding dong.
That is a big one for sure. All right, it's 2:30. We have to slightly split the ding dong segment because it is Dad's week on the zone. We got to give away some Braves tickets. Lucas told me to do it at 2:30. It's 2:31, so I'm close, Lucas. Dad's week on the zone. All sorts of dad-related things for Father's Day coming up. So here's what we're going to do. Caller number five now, 615-737-1045, has a chance to win a pair of tickets to the Atlanta Braves versus the Tampa Bay Rays. That's coming up Sunday, July 18th at Truist Park soon. Special thanks to the Braves. Weekends are exciting at Truist Park. That place is amazing. The whole Battery, everything around it. Blaine, you lived in Atlanta, and I asked you once, like, if somebody had shown you the future and said, at this exit, this is what we're going to do, you were like, I would not have believed it. Like, that's an amazing spot there that they built.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. So, yeah, man, got to get there sooner than later. But, you know, make sure you have your COVID shot.
That's right. Yeah. Or just sometimes it's okay to say, I don't know. Like Coach Mack always tells us, sometimes he'll say, hey, guys, I don't know. I'll never try to tell you anything I don't know. So I'm just going to say, I don't know. Let me look into it. It's okay to say you don't know. All right. Here's what I know. My called shot on Friday was a sweep in the Cardinals and Cubs series this weekend. I was right. Only it was the wrong team. Oh. The Cubs, JT's Cubs, our old buddy JT, swept the Cardinals again. The Cardinals have lost 11 of 13. They were in first place in the division. They're now a game under 500. I know they've had some injuries, but everybody has injuries. They can't throw. They can't catch. They can't hit. They are an embarrassment. Oh, my gosh. I get it. They've had injuries. So does everybody. It's not an excuse. They have been terrible. So now, you know, everybody's on to GM. Are you guys going to get some more pitching? He says, well, we can't do it now because people know we're desperate. Hey, man. Ding dongs. All of them. They were short on pitching before the season started. They knew it. They have been an abject disaster. They can't get guys out of the first or second inning on a regular basis. My ding dong of the week is my own St. Louis Cardinals. My second ding dong of the week, and this was going to be mine until the Cardinals got swept. So Bobby Witt Jr. is playing double-A baseball, has hit a bunch of home runs. He plays for the Northwest Arkansas Naturals, playing double-A baseball in Northwest Arkansas. Hit a home run, ran around the bases. Mascots following him. They're having a big time. They were blowing some bunch of jokers out. The umpire just casually watches his feet, and he just kind of skips down the baseline.
Oh, he missed first base, didn't he?
No, he missed home plate.
Oh, that seems like something I would do.
So he goes into the dugout. Nobody does anything. I watched the whole video because I thought, okay, when does this become official? As soon as the next guy stepped in the batter's box, I guess, and took a pitch, then he called the other guy out.
He can't tell him, like, hey, man, you missed a home plate.
No, he missed home plate.
It's not Little Leagues, huh? Dang. Oh, man. That is a huge, a big sloppy ding-dong there, boy. That one there, man.
Ooh. So they're saying you actually have to throw down to it for an appeal. So the pitcher threw to the catcher. They appealed it. He touched home plate, and he was out. The umpire called him out. That's what it was.
Oh, okay.
So I'll say this to all of you baseball managers and all you umpires who meticulously watch some guy's feet on a home run trot, God bless you. And to the guy who can hit a home run, that was going to be his 10th of the season. And there are other instances in baseball where guys are missing bases. Like suddenly people can hit home runs and strike out, and they're having trouble even running bases. There are all these instances where guys are missing bases. But he missed home plate. He lost a home run. Ding dong. Touch home plate. Not that hard.
Oh, my. Dang. Tough in there. Yeah. I'm sure there was a lot of other ding dongs out there, but that one there. Just imagine if that would have happened in like a World Series, College World Series game, a playoff game. Oh, man. It cost them the win. That would not be fun.
All right, Lucas, have you got – I know Lucas has been just embroiled in European soccer. He has just been all about soccer. Do you have a soccer-related ding-dong? Maybe they were ding-dongs for what they continue to match when a guy died on the field and then came back to life. What the heck is going on with all that stuff?
You nailed it, Mickey. My ding dong of the week is everybody at UEFA, the governing body of European soccer. Look, Christian Eriksen is the midfielder for Denmark that collapsed on the field, went into cardiac arrest, had to be resuscitated, basically passed away on the field and was brought back, and now is stable. He's in good condition. His wife is on the field. She's being consoled by Denmark's goalkeeper and their captain. It was just a surreal scene. And after the match, and Christian Eriksen, the best player in Denmark, one of the better midfielders in Europe, very well-known player. After the match, they tell Denmark players, okay, either you can continue the game later today, or you can finish the second half tomorrow, or you can forfeit. And the players opted to play later that day. They end up playing the second half. They fall 1-0 to Finland, and ultimately what was an upset, but were clearly shaken. They clearly were not into it after seeing their best player, their talisman, collapse on the field in front of them and almost die in front of them. So my ding-dongs of the week are everybody at UEFA for kind of giving that ultimatum to Denmark players after clearly what was a very disturbing scene against Finland on Saturday.
I mean, I know there's no handbook for when something terrible happens, but you would just always hope that common sense and common decency would rule the day, you know? I mean, you would just hope that the most common sense of decency would win out in these situations. And I get it. People have to make decisions. You know, what Pete Rozelle always said, they played, the week after Kennedy got shot. It was the decision he regretted the most. And you've always got to make real tough decisions if you're in charge. But a guy died. He died in front of his friends. And then they brought him back to life. Maybe give them some options. Like, let them cook up their own options. I agree with you. But I get it. It's a big tournament. The whole world's watching. Also, a guy died.
I mean, the game had to be played. But yes. I can't understand not pushing it back a week or doing something. It's just crazy to me. And they only really needed to play one half. They didn't need to start the game over. And like you said, there's no handbook for it. But to put players in that position to make that decision in that moment, and they all saw it firsthand. They were crowded around him. They were shielding him from the cameras so that the whole world didn't see what was going on. Man, it was disturbing stuff on Saturday.
Well, I'm more than anything, I'm just glad he's okay.
Yeah, he's okay.
Yeah, because I saw it all over Twitterverse. And I was like, what the heck is going on?
Yeah, I'd never seen anything like that. Never seen anything like that. He's their best player. He's 29, healthy, you know, one of the best midfielders in Italy, plays for Inter Milan. And they put them in the position to say either play today, play tomorrow, or forfeit the match.
Wow. Well, let's be better, UEFA. Let's be better. All right. When we come back, the Titans have signed a wrestler. They're talking about him. The coaches, what did they say? Keith Carter, his position coach. We'll let you know about that. Also, Dylan Radins. They had to draft another guy since the Panda washed out. What are they saying about him? We will also hear from Anthony Midget, who coaches the secondary communication on defense. How's that coming along? We'll hear it all next. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone again tomorrow in the borough. 1 to 3, come join us. We will be at Puckett's Grocery. Can't wait to see you down there. We love to interact with you. We like to meet the people and see the people. So please come out and see us and eat some good food and have a good visit with us. 114 North Church Street. We're celebrating NASCAR's return. Nashville Super Speedway racing back this weekend for the first time in 7 years for the Cup Series to come back to this city. So going to have some NASCAR related stuff. It's going to be fun. I'm the biggest fan, so can't wait to see that and be a part of that. So thanks to Nashville Super Speedway. Thanks to our friends at Puckett's. We're going to have a fun day in what is always a fun place to go and visit tomorrow in Murfreesboro. So Titans, Blaine, on the field. Last week of work before they go their separate ways. A lot of people talking about the secondary getting kind of rebuilt because it is rebuilt. I mean, 3 of the 4 starters are going to be new. Anthony Midget talked about that. He's the secondary coach. He talked about communication, and this is what he said earlier today.
I'm a half, and everybody's taking you know, pride in just getting that accomplished and making sure we're all on the same page when we go out there so we can execute at a high level. And that's what it's going to take. Every all 11 guys, just not just the back end, everybody, the back end communicating to the linebackers, linebacker communicating with the back end, and relaying that all the way down to the front. So that's been a big, you know, focus for the unit this offseason, and the guys have taken tremendous strides in getting that accomplished so far in the OTAs.
I would imagine they're using every bit of this time, Blaine, to try to learn each other, to figure out each other's mannerisms, that kind of thing, because, I mean, you know, especially with Kevin Byard, he's got three different people starting around him than what he's used to. Two different cornerbacks. He's going to have Imani Hooker, he's played a lot with, but no more Kenny Vaccaro. A lot of new faces for him. Luckily for the Titans, the two inside linebackers, middle linebackers, are the same with Evans and with Jayon Brown, but you're going to have Denico Autry. You're going to have Bud Dupree. There's a lot of new faces. A lot of guys have got to start figuring things out with each other.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And then you got two young guys who aren't even practicing yet, Farley, you know, and the other slot receiver from Washington. So yeah, that you know, that still is going to be ongoing and going all the way up to the regular season. But yeah, you know, at some point, you know, you got to be able to go out there and execute. And sometimes you don't, you know, have the scenario where you get to communicate. You need to know your responsibility, whether it's in the running game or both running and passing game. I think that's where a lot of confusion happened from the linebacker's point of view. And then from the secondary point of view, I just think some guys just weren't technically sound and made some bad plays. And all working with the front four, not really getting as much pressure as they needed, you know, at times. So it gotta, you know, you got to work in unison. And in this league now, you know, if you don't have a good front four, a good pass rush, you're not going to be but average at best in the secondary. That's just it is what it is. You know, these guys on offense and the rules are set for, you know, the offenses that have success. So they need to get better and they win younger. And that's what I've been saying the whole time. They felt like it was more player driven than scheme and system driven by all the changes. So we shall see. I think they're going to be more aggressive. They'll try to get after quarterback, and they're going to try to press some guys and get in their face and make them make some plays over the top of them. So we shall see. End of the day, communication, we can talk about it ad nauseum. Actually, I got actually a little perturbed with it. This is a little too much for me every week. I would have been like, we can't say that anymore. Don't say that. Right. But they kept saying it because, you know, at some point it's like, okay, now it's not about, you know, communicate. You got to go play. Baller's ball. Sorry.
Right.
Go make a play. It was too much of that, and it went on way too long for me. And I know how much communication is vital, but if you're not getting it fixed, then don't keep telling me the same thing then. That it makes any sense to me. Because at some point, it's out of the coach's hand and it's in the player's hand. Now, you go execute and communicate. Sorry. We're not going to go over every scenario known to man at practice. So you need to know the defense and communicate it out. And if you're not looking to communicate, then play off of them. Yep.
No doubt. Keith Carter, coach in the offensive line. There's an interesting project. Lucas, is this one bite or two? He talked about Dylan Radins. He also talked about a wrestler who they brought in to take a shot at the offensive line. Dylan Radins, as well as Adam Kuhn. Yes. Who is the wrestler that is trying to make the Titans. Let's hear from Keith Carter about both of those situations before we go.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Adam is – that's a great point. And you kind of you kind of sit back and you ask yourself, okay, who are the players, you know, that you know, what ingredients do they have outside of technique that have a chance to make it? And Adam checks all those boxes. He's athletic. He's tougher than crap. He works his butt off. He's smart. All those things. So, yeah, the challenge is, okay, well, he's got all those really important characteristics outside of football. You know, well, let's go see how far we can take him from a technique standpoint and understanding standpoint, really. I mean, he's starting from scratch, man. How you read a playbook to how you get in a stance and you know, all that stuff. So I'm excited. He's the right guy for the job in the sense that he, you know, he's going to work his butt off too, and he's going to just keep coming back for more. And it will kind of be fun to see how far he can take it.
Here you go. Here's a very raw project. The guy's 300 plus pounds. He's huge. He's a wrestler. Teach him how to be an NFL football player, coach. Hey, people take chances. Jags bring in Tim Tebow. The Titans have brought in a wrestler. This is the time to do it. You got 90 slots. Feel like you can take a chance on somebody. Now's the time to do it. Intangible.
Yeah. You know, I really like this chance that they're taking here. If you look at his background, he was a All-State All-Performer in high school in football. And I know that's not the NFL, but it shows he has a football background. And most of your offensive linemen in high school are playing both sports. That's why it's called combat, one-on-one. And they are your wrestlers. All my offensive linemen in high school, I was a running back, were wrestlers. And some of them state champions.
Wow.
So they just weren't, you know, 6'5" and, you know,
100 pounds.
Yeah, they were more like, you know, 6 feet, you know, 190 pounds. Yeah, we were all about
tough though.
Yeah, so you know, so a lot of that really helps you in the National Football League. Now, does that mean you can go out there and be technically sound and make a huge jump from college to pro? No, this is a developmental player, a guy that you see. If he starts getting it, he's going to be rapid because of his strength and his size and his agility, especially in combat, one-on-one. So I think this is something worth looking into. There's been some success. I think, what was the guy? Stephen Neal, maybe? I remember, I think, when I was playing did this. So, you know, there's been basketball players that convert to tight ends, Antonio Gates from the MAC conference. So there are certain attributes that you have and things that technique that he's going to have to work on and grow and learn, but the pace that he starts learning it, and you're going to see him grow every day and his confidence is going to grow. I wouldn't be surprised if he actually made the practice squad or something similar to that as a depth guy, because obviously he's strong as an ox. And if he can, you know, put that out there and be physical and nasty like all those wrestlers are, we could be something really special in a couple of years.
Well, this guy needs to be special. We'll wind up with this today. Wrap it up. Dylan Radins, Keith Carter, his position coach, talked about the second round pick for the Titans, who also needs to be mean and nasty.
Yeah, that's a great question. And you know, I think one thing is we just keep reminding them, like, there's no, you know, from a technique standpoint, we are always going to strive to play with great technique. But at some point, you got to take all that out of it and see a picture, make a decision, and play as fast and as violent as humanly possible. And I think the more we drill him that way, the more we rep him that way, and the more he trusts us that, hey, if you give us the right effort and the right finish, we'll coach the technique on the run. But you have to capture our style of play first. And it's not that he doesn't play hard, but it's like you're saying, it's kind of giving himself permission that, like, hey, man, nobody's saying you have to take the perfect step, first step. We want you to take a good first step, but there's an element of, hey, get the attitude and the aggressiveness right, and then the rest will kind of fall into line.
We have taken our last step of the day. Time for us to step on out of here. 3HL next tomorrow on the show. Buddy Ross Dellinger and Coach Mack. You don't want to miss that. You don't want to miss 3HL next. Peace, everybody.
Happy Monday! Peace!